The reading of God's word from Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 20. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, Father, thank you for the seed planted today that you've planted in your word for us to uncover and watch it bear fruit in our lives. I pray that as we take it in, there will be fruit that grows in us, that we will grow, that we will not remain the same having ingested it. We thank you for growth in each of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a text. You will eat what you say. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Some powerful words in that wise man's vocabulary. I'm changing my attitude. We don't fail in this life because someone doesn't like us. We don't fail because people are against us. We don't fail because of our skin color or of our race. We fail because of a lack of obedience, and we fail when our attitude is a problem. Children of Israel had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years, beaten down pretty severely in life. They had a slave mentality as a result of it, and they thought of themselves as grasshoppers. Because of that negative mentality, they were always negative, complaining. The problem with most complainers is they don't even know they're complaining. It's such a way of life for complainers, they're not aware. That's the way they live, in complaint. Anytime someone has a rough past, they're going to have a struggle with low self-esteem. People tend to think that everything is against them, that they can't make it. They think that no matter how hard they try, nothing ever works out for them. It's a negative attitude. As a man thinks, so is he. If he thinks he can't do it, he can't. God brought his children out of Egypt and told them to go and spy out the promised land. He wanted them to see what he had promised them. God's already given you some promises for your family and for your life. God wants you to see them in the spirit. He wants you to know that what they are, that they're not far out in advance of you. They're not as far away from you as you might think they are. They're very close by. So 10 of the spies come back with a negative report, and God called their report what? Evil. He said, what you're saying is an evil report. In other words, if you're talking negative, and we all tend to go there, if you're talking negative, God looks at that as an evil report. Only 2 out of 12 came back with a good report. So possibly 5 out of 6 people will look at their problems and think, the odds are against me. 5 out of 6 people are going to be negative. So they're not going to get into the promised land. And know this, when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus, you then became more than a conqueror. You were a victim when you were in the society and of the culture. You were victimized perhaps by a parent or parents. And you've heard stories this week again of parents doing horrific things to their children. You were abused in your neighborhood until you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And once you gave your heart to the Lord, from that moment on, you became more than a conqueror, not a grasshopper. Nah. So 10 of the spies looked at the promised land that God said was theirs. And they said, it's a beautiful land. It flows with milk and honey. But the giants are too big for us. We can never, ever possess this. And Joshua and Caleb said, it is a beautiful land. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. And we shall go in and we will possess it because he promised it to us and we can have it. Tell someone, your attitude makes the difference. You can murmur and complain about your job if you want to. I'm grateful to have a job. You can murmur and complain about your wife if you want to. I'm grateful to have a wife. Amen. I'm blessed. Let me say it like this. Murmuring and complaining keeps you from getting into your promised land. In fact, complaining only makes everything worse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? I wonder how many people who are listening to this message They're thinking, yeah, I know a good man leaves an inheritance for his children, or I know God wants me to have my own place, but it seems like it's impossible for me. I wonder how many people are listening and thinking, yes, I want to be healed and I want to be healthy, but it doesn't seem like the reports I get are indicative of that. Some complain so much they don't even know they're complaining. And if you will change your attitude so that your attitude lines up with God's word, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. With God's help, I will tithe. I will put God first. He'll open the windows of heaven. God wants me to be well. And through the wounds of Jesus, I am healed. And some will say, well, I just don't have the advantages other people have. And the odds have just been too overwhelming. And no matter how hard I try, I can't ever seem to get ahead. I can't succeed and I'll never recover. It's your attitude that will determine how far you go in life. Because attitude determines altitude. And if you've got a negative attitude, you're not going to go very far. Your attitude determines how well you do in relationships, how you succeed in business, how you succeed in your finances, how rapidly you recover from your illnesses, because doctors may not put it in writing, but they watch you and listen to you, and they have an inkling about what's going to happen prognosis-wise because of your attitude. They know if your attitude is good, the chances for your recovery are far much better. One of the saddest stories in the Bible is the one of Israel not going into the promised land. They come out of Egypt under God's mighty hand, miracle after miracle, but they didn't enter into the blessings full in the fullness of God because they had a bad attitude and would not believe him. They were continuously complaining. And how many know that the sin nature of man is to complain? That's the old nature. I don't like the music in the church. I don't like something about my job. I don't like the neighborhood I live in. I don't like the people I work with. The sin nature is to complain and to murmur. And then when God finally gives you something, you even complain about that. I'm speaking about the sin nature of man. I'm not speaking about the born-again spirit that gives us a new nature that needs to line up with God's word. I'm speaking about the sin nature that we all carry around with us because it's a challenge to fight that flesh nature. It's a challenge to keep a good attitude when everything's going wrong. It's a challenge when everything seems to be falling apart to maintain an attitude that lines up with God. You know you're serving God and you're doing the right things, and it's a challenge to keep a good attitude when you're going through hell and high water. It's a challenge, but God wants each of us to change our attitude. He wants us to have faith in him, to have a good report even when things look bad. Even when the odds are against us, he wants us to have a good report coming out of our mouths. And if the Holy Spirit can get this message into your heart, changing your attitude, everything in your life begins to improve. Your circumstances are not what defeats you. It's your attitude that causes you to be defeated. It's your attitude that leaves you out in the wilderness all the days of your life. You don't have to be a drug addict for the devil to defeat you. All you've got to do is go negative, become a murmurer, and have a stinky attitude, and the devil will defeat you. If you're the kind of person who always walks away from a responsibility when things get tough, then God wants you to take on a whole new attitude. God brought you up out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and he wants to teach you how to be a fighter, to engage the adversary, and to defeat him. Our circumstances are not what defeat us. God wants you to know you're not a grasshopper. You're a royal priesthood. And here's the problem. You don't feel like a royal priesthood, but God said you're a royal priesthood. And watch those feelings. Those feelings take you places you don't want to go and keep you longer than you need to stay. You need to guard your feelings, guard your heart. You need to bring them under the self-control of the fruit of the Spirit. God says who you are. You're a holy nation. He said, we are his people. He said, we are joint heirs with his son. Whatever belongs to him, he shares with all of us. But you don't feel like it. So instead you say what you feel instead of saying what God says about you. I'm hoping to help somebody here today. Say, I'm changing my attitude. You're not a victim. You're more than a conqueror. So it's not what happens to you that determines your future. It's what happens inside of you that determines how far you go. You see, because the calculators put it all down together and looked at all the angles and all the potentials and all the risks and all the odds and said, life is only 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. If you have the right attitude, you'll believe that the cloud does have a silver lining because you know your God. You're going through something today, and whatever it is, it's a test about your attitude. It's about the process with God. God's interested in how you're processing in the test more than he is in your destiny. And I've told you if I told you all the things that we've endured in the last 3 to 4 months, you wouldn't believe it. Some people think we're like robots, you know, nothing ever hurts us, nothing stresses us, nothing ever concerns us, that we're just robotic, nothing ever phases us. I had no idea it was such a threat to the devil, that he likes testing me the way he does. So what we've learned to do is we laugh, and sometimes we cry, because we get pressed from every single direction. Then I proclaim, watch what God is going to do. We come around a corner, there's a big wall waiting for us. And I look at it and go, no way I'm going over or through that thing. But God has a door in the middle of this, and God will open it no matter how tall the wall is. He specializes in knocking walls down. And it looks bad, but God has a plan. God said he would turn it for our good. And we stand on that and believe that. You have to reach the point where you look at life and you kind of laugh and say, God's working something in the middle of this. Even though we don't see it with our natural eye at the moment, it's in the wilderness I have to learn to have a good attitude. It's easy to have a good attitude when you're in the middle of the promised land. It's easy when you just got everything you ever prayed for. It's easy to have a good attitude when everything is going the way you want it to go. The challenge is, how do you keep a good attitude when you're stuck out in the wilderness somewhere? Because the wilderness is the testing place where you determine whether you get to go into your promised land, whether you pass the test and get to go on to the next phase. The wilderness is God's pathway. It's his process for finding out if we're trustworthy or not. You don't have to like it when you're in the middle of the wilderness. It's just the way it is and the way God has streamlined and adjusted your wilderness detours. It's his pathway. And while you're there in the wilderness, you have to learn to tithe. I knew that would go over quietly. You know why? Because this is very early learning, kindergarten class, first grade class. And my first tests, I learn how to tithe. I learn how to obey the Lord. I get water baptized because he commanded me to do it. And if you can't learn to tithe in the wilderness, you're not going into your promised land. In the wilderness, it's a test. And if you don't tithe, you get to remain in the wilderness and take the test again. Oh, God's a great teacher. I love this about the way he teaches. Because if you flunk his test, he lets you take it again and again and again and again. It's in the wilderness you're going to learn to forgive. It's another rudimentary principle of being a part of his kingdom. Because listen, if you don't forgive people there, you're not going to forgive them if you just go waltzing into the promised land. God says it's the test in the wilderness that determines if you get the promises of God. So when I say promised land, I'm not talking about real estate in Israel. It might be a matter of your housing. It might be the job. It might be your career. It might be an increase. It might mean the salvation of your entire family. It might be your purpose or the dream he's planted into your heart. When I say promised land, I'm speaking about whatever you're believing God for in your life. When I say promised land, I'm speaking about healing for your body. God said, if you don't forgive others, my heavenly Father won't forgive you. And how in the world are you going to get healed if God is prevented from forgiving you? Are you listening? So, yeah, it's a good math equation. If you put one and then put another one and you add them, you're going to get two. So if you won't forgive, the chances are not good for healing, because it's going to be tough for God to answer that prayer when you won't do what he's asking you to do. You don't get the promises without passing the test. If you bring the tithe to my house, I'll open the windows of heaven. And so guess what's not going to happen when I refuse to do that? How can you receive God's blessing if you're not putting God first in your life? Now, you might attain a level of some success, but you also might lose it if you're not putting God first. So it's in the wilderness they have to learn how to work on my attitude, our attitudes. It's in the wilderness you're tested. It's in the wilderness where you don't want to have a good attitude, because it's not a happy place. It's a tough place. It's a test. It's pushing you. It's stretching you. It's making you to go places you really didn't want to go because you wanted to stay comfortable, and you get angry with God. And who am I talking to here today? It's in the wilderness you have to change your attitude, because your attitude will determine how far you go with God. And if your attitude determines how far you go with God, don't you think you need to change it? Attitude determines the level of success you walk in, whether you're working at McDonald's or whether you own a McDonald's. It's in the wilderness that you have to learn to let go of all the issues. Issues with your mama. Issues with the person of color, because you had a bad experience. Issues with your ex. And I watched you tighten up when I said that one, because you have issues with your ex. In the wilderness, you've got to let go of your issues. As long as you have an issue, you get to stay in the wilderness. I don't know about you. I want out of the wilderness. I'm ready to walk into the promises of God. Therefore, the sooner I learn what it is he's teaching me in this process and I pass the test, the sooner I get out of that moment. Do you believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Or do you think of yourself as a victim? Well, I'm the wrong color. I'm the wrong shade. My hair isn't thick enough. It's not the right length. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too black. I'm too white. I'm too disadvantaged in my life. I didn't have any advantages like you did. Do you believe that you're more than a conqueror? Or do you view yourself as a victim? I'm in your business, huh? Yeah. Every single day of your life, you have to determine your attitude. Every single day, you need to get up and reset your attitude, because that's going to determine how your day goes. Every day, you have to reset your attitude indicator, like a pilot does when he gets in the cockpit of that plane. Because if he doesn't pay attention to the attitude indicator before he turns around while he's looking at all the beautiful scenery, he's in a nosedive. So you're climbing rather than crashing. You cannot change where you've been, but you can change where you're going. You can't change other people, but you can change your attitude. You can't get the person you're married to change, so you change your attitude. You've got to be careful also who your friends are, because your friends can affect your attitude. You start getting around people who are negative, negative, yakety yak, and bad this and bad that and bad. And the next thing you know, what's coming out of your mouth? Same thing. God says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't hang out with people who do that all the time. You can't be hanging out with Mr. and Mrs. Lukewarm, because if you do, you'll end up with their attitude. A thermometer determines the temperature of what's going on inside my body. Every time I turned around, they're putting something on my forehead. What's your temperature? What's your temperature? What's your temperature? Okay? Your attitude is the thermometer of what's going on inside of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's coming up out of your mouth is really what's in your heart. So if you're wanting to climb higher in your life, do you know that your success in every aspect of life is determined by your attitude? Because you can be highly educated and greatly gifted, but if you've got a negative attitude, you can be the most talented person on the staff where you work, but if you have a bad attitude, you're going to struggle in career. You're going to struggle keeping work. Let me say it another way. If you're not easy to work with, you're going to have a tough time making it. Some people are so rigid and they're so inflexible. They struggle to get anywhere in life. No, you've got to flex. You've got to bend or you're going to break and snap. You need to be in church at every opportunity because it helps you with your attitude. You see, the presence of the Holy Spirit, when we gather together like they did in the upper room, the 120, they were a divergent group of people in that room. But the Holy Spirit brought them into oneness and unity and took all of these different attitudes and backgrounds and cultural aspects and blended them into one mind in one place, and the power of the Holy Spirit fell on them. And that day, 3,000 people came to know Jesus because they had one purpose, and he took their attitudes and shaped them into the attitude that Jesus would have his church reflect. Being in his presence helps our attitude. Being in the Word helps reprogram our stinking thinking. Walmart used to have a policy for all their employees. I don't know if they still do this or not, that if they were within 10 feet of someone, they had to smile, look at them in the eye, and extend a smile and a friendly gesture. Because it's all about attitude. I don't know if they still do that policy or not, because not everybody there has done that for me. This little sweet sister has. Every time I see her, she smiles at me. Gives me a good attitude. It's really cool. But not everybody does that, right? Whether you have an outgoing personality or not, your success depends on the way you treat others. Well, Pastor, that's just not my personality. Then change your bad self. Change it. Yeah, God's not mocked, and what you sow, you're going to reap. And if you're not easy to get along with, that's what you're going to get back. If you're not friendly, you're going to reap it. If you've got an attitude, that's what's going to come back at you. And if you're going through something at home, when you go to work, change your attitude when you walk through the door. Yeah, you do a gut check. I don't carry all the junk I've had to carry all week to the pulpit or all the junk into my office and dump that on everybody because things didn't go every way the way I thought they should or hoped that they would. I check that out and say, Holy Spirit, thank you. I have a lot to be grateful for. I'm checking this at the door. I'm going to do what you asked me to do with a right attitude because I'm a grateful person. Amen? Because you always get back what you give out. So tell somebody I'm changing my attitude. And I know you're wondering, why did God allow me to go through some of the things I'm going through? It's all part of the test. It's all part of the test. And when you get this in your spirit, you're in the wilderness and you're in the test. And if you don't change your attitude, you have to stay there. Same place. And you're going to go around and come back again. And go around and come back again. And the teacher's going to go, guess what? We're going to do this all over again. Can you get that in your spirit? And when you do, and you're learning and you're growing, God will bless that, release you from that test, right? And if by faith, you begin to change your attitude. You put on a smile. You're friendly. You're loving. Understand that what you give out is what you're going to get back in life. When God's working in your life, he allows you to go through stuff. He will. No one's going to skate right into the promised land because they walked out of Egypt yesterday. They're going to go through wilderness before they get there. And because he wants you to grow in your faith, he wants to know when he asks of you something that you're going to do it with a good attitude because you trust him. Once God's working in your life, your faith is challenged so that you can believe God for greater things. How in the world are you going to conquer a giant when you can't conquer your own attitude? Maybe you did get fired from work, but if you learn something in this process, so it won't happen to you again, so I won't repeat the same mistake, you're not going to do what you did back there that got me where I am. I'm going to learn from that, change my attitude, and I'm going to grow. So next time I get an opportunity, I'm going to pass this test. Faith is developed in part by coming to church. And then it will be manifested when you hit the brick wall. And we're all going to hit one or many of them in life. It manifests when you've got nowhere to turn except to the Lord. When you come around that corner and there's a wall and you go, okay, now where am I going? Faith is developed when your heart, in your heart, by hearing God's word and believing it. And it's there when there is no one else to help you except God. And that's what manifests. Faith is developed when you don't know when your next meal is coming from. You don't wait until the battle is over to thank God. You're thankful today. You praise him in advance. You worship him because of the God you knew back here is the same God in the test I'm in today. Don't wait until it turns around to change your attitude. Change your attitude now. The only reason God allows you to go through some things is to learn to depend on him, that he's trustworthy. Attitude. Well, I feel. That's the problem. That's all we do, is we walk around letting our feelings decide stuff for life. No. You take your feelings to the Lord, but check them everywhere else. Be like David. He went to the Lord with his feelings. Said, Lord, this hurt me. Or Lord, why aren't you answering this prayer? Or Lord, why are you letting them get away with it? And he expressed his feelings. Sometimes he talked to himself. So, why are you so downcast inside? Wake up. We're serving the Lord. And he checked himself. And we cannot afford to let feelings drive us. Well, you know, I've got this loving feeling. No, your loving feeling, your emotions are going to take you places you don't want to go. And you're going to end up places you regret ever having visited. You don't go by your feelings. You go by what God says. You have to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to open the word and direct your steps that way, not by how you feel. Okay, well, I'm going by what my heart wants to do. Your heart is desperately wicked. You don't believe your heart. You believe what God says. Are you listening today? Amen? Right? God doesn't want you doing anything of consequence without checking with him first. He doesn't. He wants you to depend on him for everything in life. Why? He birthed you. He created you in his heart and kept you in eternity and then sent you into time, putting you into the family that you were birthed through. And God's your creator as well as your father, your daddy. And he wants you, because I don't care what your chronological age or how many years you've been in church, he still wants you to come to him like a child comes to his daddy and say, Dad, I need your advice. Dad, I need your help. Before I make a decision or take a turn, I want to know, does this meet with your approval? Because the consequences of us going off on our own, well, we know what those are. We've all paid a price, haven't we? Because if you don't use muscle, it becomes weakened. You've got to learn to exercise by God's word, by prayer, by fellowship with him. And if there's no pain, there's no gain. For several months, under doctor's orders, you know, there was only a limit to what I could lift and use my muscles to do. And until that valve was placed in there. And so, you know, I thought, okay, that's what he wants me to do. And I'll try to do that with a good attitude. And then I went home, and my doctor at home was chasing me around the house every time I was picking something up, saying, how much does that weigh? You can't lift that. That's too much. You got to put that back. And so everywhere I turned around. And so in the last few months since that procedure, I've been able to, you know, get back on track and rebuild muscle. That, because what happens is your muscle tone atrophies. It goes away when you can't use them. And now they're coming back. And now I can tell they're coming back because they all hurt. Everything I'm doing hurts me. And that's a good thing, because I'm regaining my muscle strength. That's true with your faith. Your attitude is being challenged today, and you're not going to build spiritual muscle unless there's a little pain involved and stretching involved and use of that muscle. It's in the test that God shows you how great he really is. It's when you pass through hot water. How many know that a tea bag isn't worth anything unless you dip it in hot water? And you've got to go through some hot water before any flavor dissipates into the water. But when you're going through the hot water is when you learn how to depend on God in a whole new way, because it's all about attitude. So you're going through something. But God is going to help you. He didn't give you the test to leave you hanging out there. God wants to know how far he can trust you. He wants to know what you're going to do when obeying the word of God hurts. You want me to do that? Mm-hmm. Why? Because I wrote it in my word. What's the reason? Because I wrote it in my word. Well, I want to know why. Because I wrote it in my word. And I want you to do that. Okay. Am I going to be trustworthy enough to do what he asked me to do? Because I'm not trustworthy? I stay in the test. I don't graduate to the next class. You're going through something. God's going to help you, I said. He wants to know if you're sold out or you're just playing church with him. When your mind says you're broken, you're never going to be prosperous, that's when you open your mouth and you say, wait a minute, God says, if I diligently obey him, he will command blessings in my life. I came here to build up somebody's faith today. I'm here to say faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and I'm here to impart some faith to someone who feels a little bit weak today. God wants you to have the kind of faith so that when you're in the middle of a trial, you say, wait a minute, my best days are still ahead of me. Even if the hell hounds are barking at my ankles, my best days are still ahead of me. It's attitude. How many know if you get your words going in the right direction, it helps change your attitude? It's not about feeling. It's about speaking his word. This is what he says. God tells us he wants to be our Jehovah Jireh. He's the one who provides all of our needs in life. God says, I will do things for you that you can't do for yourself because I am your Jehovah Jireh. God says, I'm the one who will take care of you. I'm the one who will heal you when nobody can. Listen, we've lived through this. I'm the one who can meet all of your financial needs when you don't know where the money's going to come from. And God says, if you love me and you serve me, I will even help you pay your PG&E bill. Now you know God's a miracle worker there, huh? I will meet all of your needs in life. Tell somebody I'm changing my attitude. Because I'm Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. I will help you pay your child's tuition. I'll make a way where there is no way because I am the great way maker. And he says, for every question I have an answer. For every in there is an out. For every down there is an up. And for every need there is provision. You change what you're saying to line up with what God said. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think for those who love him. And we can tell you what that's like. Next time we have a chance to share part two, we'll tell you that story. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? Do you know your heavenly Father? Then you cannot imagine what he's planned to do for you. It might be rough in the moment. Change your attitude. It might be lonely right now. Change your attitude. You may be broke. Change your attitude. The word says that the words of our mouth are like the bit in the horse's mouth. And James gives us a beautiful dissertation of that in his book. He said, those words guide your faith, or they guide you into a bad attitude. And you've got to preach it when you don't feel it. You've got to say it when you don't want to. And you say, my best days are still ahead of me. Because my words are like seeds. And if you're going to climb higher, you've got to get some seed planted. You've got to change some things about what you're saying. Because as you begin to proclaim the goodness of our Lord, how many know that seed only produces after its kind? You can't plant a tomato seed in the ground and expect to harvest corn. It's not going to happen. It's not what enters a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his mouth, Jesus said. Your words will either strengthen your faith or cause you to give up. And I can predict your future by the things you're saying. I can predict your attitude by the things you're saying. David looked at Goliath and said, you're coming at me with a sword and a spear. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. And this day, he will deliver you into my hands. What's your giant? The story is not just about David and Goliath. The story is about you and your giant. You've got weight to lose. Change some things and you'll lose weight. You've smoked for years, but God is strengthening you. You put that on the altar and leave it with the Lord. And your God helps you in a supernatural way. So what's your giant? Your attitude has to be, when the enemy says things to me that I know I shouldn't be doing, he's lying to me. That devil is a liar. My God is looking for ways to help me. God wants you to talk to your giant. Talk to depression. Talk to sickness. Talk to financial problems. You might have a lawsuit coming against you. That devil is a liar. Our God is just and he's fair. He'll take care of us. And if you've got the right attitude, you'll believe my God's going to work everything out. That's the Father I know. And if you've got the right attitude, you walk by faith, not by sight. And even though the odds are against you, know that God and you are a majority. That's why Paul said, put on a heart of thanksgiving because you believe God's going to work it out. Think on things that are noble and of good report and that are positive, that are of God's word and of truth. How many know we've got a lot to be thankful for? Because we've got a lot to be thankful for. Because we could be in the hospital right now. Some of you could be in jail right now. You could be homeless right now. Let me testify for a minute, since nobody else seems to want to testify here this morning in second service, about the goodness of the Lord. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I want to thank God for the beautiful family of God that we have here as a church. I want to thank God for what he's doing in our hearts, for all the goodness he's supplied to us. There's a time to keep my mouth shut. There's a time to open our mouths and express our thanksgiving to the Lord. I'm bragging on God. Amen. And when you brag on God, he gets bigger and the enemy diminishes in your own eyes. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Because when your mind says you're never going to be healed, you've already been prayed for 12 times, so you're never going to get healed. It's the 13th time. You go again. Amen. Reminds me of the great songwriter, pastor Arthur Graves, who wrote a number of the great songs in our hymnals that we used to use many, many years ago. And he was telling the story while we were there having a service with him one Sunday night. He said, I have a man in my church, and he'd been deaf for a number of years, couldn't hear. But every time there was a chance to testify, he'd raise his hand, jump up, and he'd just say one simple sentence. He said, I thank God I can hear, and sit down. Every single testimony service. For 10 years, he said he did that. In every service, there was a testimony time. I thank God I can hear, and sit down. And he was still deaf. I thank God I can hear. And one Sunday night, he said, well, the Holy Spirit was moving and we were worshiping and the glory of God filled the house. He said he jumped up. It wasn't testimony time, but he jumped up anyway. And he said, I thank God I can hear. And ran down the aisle, both ears had popped open in that service. And after 10 years, he never stopped believing that the God he served was going to heal him. And God did heal him. Amen. You got to change your attitude. Jesus carried away my sicknesses and my diseases. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my fears. By his stripes, I am healed. You don't look healed. You don't feel healed. God said, by his stripes, I am healed. You are healed. So you're changing and standing on the word by changing your attitude. I stand on his word, having changed my attitude. Every giant is coming down in your life. Sickness, you're coming down in the name of Jesus. When your mind says, you were born in poverty and you're going to die in poverty. Mm-mm. You've got to open your mouth and say, wait a minute. That was then. That's the kind of DNA and lineage I came out of. But today I am serving the Lord. I am a tither. And God said for the tither, he would open the windows of heaven. I will not be broke. God will bless my life and take care of me. Amen. Am I in the right church today? I'm speaking of your faith in the Lord and the attitude we have, because your attitude will make you or break you. Your attitude will determine whether you keep going or whether you quit. Your attitude determines success or failure in your marriage. And when you're filled with God's word, your attitude is, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The devil may attack me, but he can't destroy me. He may strike me, but he can't beat me. The odds may be against me, but greater is he who lives in me than he that lives in the world. The devil will not steal my joy, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. The facts say you're broke, busted and disgusted, but your attitude is, if you obey God, he will turn it around. He'll command blessing because you're the head and not the tail. Amen. You may go through hell, but you're blessed. You're blessed. Everything is against you, but you're blessed. There's a lion after me, but I'm blessed. There's a test in your home regarding your children right now, but Jehovah Jireh is going to take good care of them. Even if 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, they're not going to harm me. I don't know why God hasn't answered my prayer right yet, but I will trust the Lord with all of my heart and lean not on my own understanding. I don't know why the money hasn't come in yet, but it's on the way. I'm speaking about trusting my Jehovah Jireh. He gives blessings we don't deserve, ones we haven't even earned, and blessings you haven't even prayed about. That's the kind of Father I serve. A job that's better than you're qualified for. He'll give you a wife that's better than what you deserve. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Tell somebody, I'm changing my attitude. You recall the story of Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac was tied to the wood on the altar, and he couldn't get up. Abraham, his dad, secured him. And when you find yourself tied to your problems and you can't get up, start prophesying about your future like Abraham. Abraham said, we will be back. If God has to resurrect this kid, he will, because he made a promise to me. We will be back. And God will provide somehow in this bleak place we're standing on. God will provide. Start prophesying over your future. When you're between a rock and a hard place, you say, my best days are still ahead. You pass the tests while you're in the wilderness. And what do? Then you go forward with your bad self and you go on to the next place God has for you. Abraham saw that provision caught in the thicket and Isaac was released. God will provide. So don't let life crush you, but learn how to laugh at yourself and enjoy the blessing of God paving the way where there is none, opening doors where there are none, making streams in the desert where it's dry and desolate, flooding it with water and bearing fruit. That's the God I know. Every once in a while, your faith is going to get challenged. But remember, it's only for a short time. And although I have many afflictions, the Lord will deliver me out of them all. And because the greater one is in us. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And remember the last part, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Trouble might have come against me, but goodness and mercy are following me. Thank the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet and bless the name of Jesus today. Thank him.